All right. How's everybody doing? My name is Stephen Sharkey. I'm one of the pastors here at Granite City Church. And so the past month, we've been talking about prayer. And there's so many different ways and angles that you could approach a sermon series on prayer. In this particular series, we're talking about different ways to pray. So we've talked about communal prayer. That's when you acknowledge the fact that maybe it would be better if I were praying with more than just me. You know, it's okay for us to pray in the quiet of our own room, but sometimes it's helpful to be with other people. We talked about intercessory prayer. That's when we kind of stand in the gap and pray for other people in our lives and say, God, will you bring your presence? Will you move in the lives of these people? Will you move in this world in a way that we desperately need you to move? We talked last week, Pastor Cindy talked about imaginative prayer, and hopefully that was a good exercise for all of you to hear about something that maybe you hadn't thought about before. And all the different ways that we can pray are helpful really towards that the same beautiful end, which is this: knowing and living into God's perfect, beautiful will. In fact, we just sang about that, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And those are words that come straight from Scripture, from the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. This is how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the focal point of our practice of prayer is that it might allow our lives, it might allow our purposes in our life to be lined up with God. Line my will with the will of God. Line up my heart with the heart of God. Line up my agenda with the agenda of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't come to God sometimes in our desperation and say, God, will you please do this thing? Save your people, protect us, heal my father's body, make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. A few weeks ago, we talked about intercessory prayer, and we saw that we actually have the capacity to move the heart of God. We saw this with Moses, who was pleading with God, turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. And remarkably, what happens? God listens and relents. To which we might say, whoa, like, I thought God, like, had, like, I thought he was, like, a tougher God than that. Like, is he, like, a big flip-flopper? He just, like, changes his mind on a whim? But let's not miss something very crucial about Moses' prayer. Moses was asking God to do the very thing that God wanted to do, that he intended to do. It was God's will to save the world through this people that he had called out. And Moses was intimately aware of that will of God. Moses had spent so much time with God that he knew God's agenda. Moses knew that his prayer was not outside the will of God. And prayer is an exercise in getting on board with God's agenda. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Too often we treat prayer like we're trying to get God onto our agenda, right? And we do that very often. And that's okay. We can come to God with our broken prayers, by the way. He can handle it. But the more that we do it, the more that we know who God is, those prayers are going to be shaped and formed into prayers that look like the prayer of Moses, that actually are right in line with the will of God. But its most basic form, what is prayer? Prayer is simply communication, right? It's communication with God. That's how we can know God. That's how Moses knew God. And look at this description from Exodus chapter 33, just a couple chapters later from where we saw Moses praying to God and God kind of seemingly changing his mind. It says this of their beautiful relationship. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Wow. Think about that for a moment. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Man, I want that for my life. Like, could that be the beat of our hearts as a church together? That we could have that kind of intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. That we could listen to his voice and speak to him like we speak to a friend. Moses had that. That's why Moses was so in tune with what God's will was. That's why Moses could do something as bold as pray to God, turn from your anger, God, relent, change, turn around. And God did it because Moses knew God intimately. They would just talk. They would just talk, just like you or I might talk face to face. That's prayer. It's communication. Now, I want feedback here. What does it take to talk to someone in a conversation? What does that look like? It's a relationship. Absolutely. Yeah, sharing. So to us talking and speaking to other people, sharing what's in our lives. A dialogue. So what does a dialogue involve? Yeah. So there's one person talking and one person listening, right? Yeah, we're trying not to listen. Sometimes we don't listen. Now, that's one of the key pieces, right, that we struggle with in our prayer relationship with God is listening. Right? And that's what we're going to talk about today, listening prayer. We can actually listen to God. We can actually hear the voice of God. Now, we don't need to look at Moses' relationship with God as like this outlier case that we could never experience. God actually is speaking to you. We can actually listen to the voice of God. It might be perhaps the most neglected part of prayer in our prayer lives because we treat prayer so often like it's a one-way conversation. We just talk so much in our prayers that we never even give ourselves space and quiet to hear the voice of God, which more often than not is a very still, small voice that requires our focus. It requires our attention, right? So this morning, my goal is to focus on two things, two questions. Why is this possible for us now? Why is it possible for us to be able to hear the voice of God? And then how can we do that? How can we engage in this amazing thing? How can we hear the voice of God? Okay, so does that sound like a productive morning? Like, why can we hear God's voice, and how then can we hear God's voice? So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. This is the same passage that UTN read for us. And we're going to pick it up just a couple verses before where he started. So Paul is writing to a church that's struggling. That's important for us to know about this church in Corinth. The Corinthians, perhaps more than any other of Paul's churches, struggled with being drawn towards the wisdom of the pagan world around them. Those are the voices that they are listening to, a very secular pagan world, which, by the way, makes them probably more like us than any of the other churches that Paul would write to or churches that Paul planted, because we live in a very secular world today. And we're trying to figure out, well, how do we follow Jesus in a world that's telling us a whole bunch of things and that we're oftentimes listening to? And what does the wisdom of the world look like? Well, it looks like, hey, your value is tied to your success. Your worth comes from your family history or your pedigree or your race or whatever. It comes from how influential you might be. It comes down to your worth, your values, like how strong you are, how smart you are. The wisdom of the world says, do whatever you want with your body. These are the kinds of things that the Corinthian church was struggling with and Paul was writing into. This is the wisdom that they are listening to, the wisdom of the world. Sound familiar? This is our world. This is our world. Not all that different from what we bend our ears to today. We listen to the same voices today. Now, Paul writes a letter into the mess of the church in Corinth, and he reminds them that there is a better wisdom, a greater wisdom than the wisdom of the world. Something better that we can listen to. And let's look at what he says in verse 7. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God designed or God destined for our glory before time began. In other words, there's a better voice for us to listen to than the voice that's coming from the world around us. We can have real wisdom now, right now, from the voice of God. Now, certainly that can come from Scripture. We have this beautiful book that speaks to us as powerful wisdom, but it also can come from the voice of God, which might seem like woo, like do 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 do. We're going to try and figure that one out today, okay? And here in verse 9, Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 64, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him." So there's a block. Like, God has these things for us, but we have not heard them. Remember, Isaiah was writing like 600-700 years before Paul is writing this letter. And so Paul's quoting him. Now, why does Paul quote Isaiah here? Because now, finally, they are living into this moment that Isaiah spoke of. Moses was an outlier among the people of God. Nobody heard God's voice like Moses did. But generations later, the prophet Isaiah was basically saying, the things that have not been revealed, the things that have not been revealed to us, the things that we have not heard, what he says, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. He said, like, we can act, like we're not hearing these things. We know that God has a wisdom that we want to access, but we have not heard this. But Paul is now saying to the church in Corinth, God is revealing these things now. But why? Why is this now possible? Look at verse 10. It says, these are the things God revealed to us by his Spirit. Okay, church, do we understand what this means? It's tricky. It's tricky. But what Paul is saying, what this means for every single one of us who has put our faith, our allegiance in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thereby, having done that, been gifted with the Holy Spirit of God, God's very presence dwelling in you. God has placed in us the very ability to communicate with and hear from his own Spirit. And Paul goes into a detailed, beautiful description of how this is possible. But I admit, it can feel a bit hard to follow because Paul uses the word Spirit within these several verses like 7 or 8 times, okay, in just a few verses. And it can be confusing because Paul is actually talking about 3 different spirits here, all of them in an effort, and he mentions all these in an effort to understand a whole new level of listening that we've now been invited to. Okay, so before I jump into these couple verses, what are the 3 spirits that Paul is talking about here? All right, we'll take them in order. We'll go one by one, and then we'll take them through some of these verses. All right, and the first one that we see is in verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? So the first one is the spirit of you, okay? That's like the voice that you hear inside your head. The voice that builds you up when you think you're just crushing life. It's the voice that brings you down when you feel rejected or embarrassed or whatever. We all have that running dialogue in our head that we just kind of keep to ourselves. And for some of us, it's nonstop. Go, 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 go. Now, just like we have a spirit inside our lives, inside our own hearts and our minds that speaks to us and that we have a dialogue with in our minds, and it's very much a part of us, just as much as your hand is a part of your body or your head is a part of your body, your spirit is a part of you. And Paul reminds us that God also has a spirit. Now look how he describes it. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So just like we have a spirit, God also has a spirit. In the same way that there's a spirit inside of you that is your spirit, and that spirit is the only one in this room that intimately knows your thoughts and insecurities and everything about you, God also has that. We call it the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. That's the second of these three spirits that God mentions. It's the Spirit of God. But there's a third spirit as well that we cannot ignore, and it's the spirit of the world. Now, you can't get rid of your spirit, okay? That is a part of who you are. That's a unique part of the way that God made each and every one of us humans. You have a spirit, and that spirit is inextricably connected to your whole being. I have a spirit that is inextricably connected to my whole being. But there are these other spirits as well. And Paul is pleading with the Corinthians, men and women, who like so many of us, also said yes to Jesus. These are followers of Jesus, but they're struggling. They're struggling. They made a decision to follow Jesus, but they're struggling to know how to do that in the midst of a world that is telling them a whole bunch of other things. Paul is pleading with them to listen to the Spirit of God that is inside them, not the spirit of the world. Look at what he writes. He says, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." Okay. Deep breath. I know that this is a lot, and it can feel like Paul is being super complicated here, and maybe he is. But what he's saying is really simply this: God has always been speaking to you, but now, when you listen to him, you can hear him. Look at verse 13. "This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." So Paul's writing to a church that they keep listening to the spirit of the world. They keep listening to the lies of this world around them. And he's saying, you don't have to listen to the wisdom of the world anymore. You don't have to listen to the spirit of the world. Why? Because like us, you can actually hear the words of God's Spirit. You can actually listen to God. When we hear about Moses talking face-to-face with God like a couple of old friends, we think to ourselves, how can that be possible? Clearly, that was just one of those random Old Testament things for one special guy at a special moment in history. All right, maybe that's exactly what it was, and maybe that's why it was such a rarity in the Old Testament, that by the time that Isaiah came around, he would write something like, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard." And Paul gets that. The thought of understanding or hearing God is miraculous, unthinkable, unfathomable. So he picks up on that. And once again, he quotes Isaiah, this time from Isaiah chapter 40. He says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him?" Paul's quoting Isaiah chapter 40. By the way, when Isaiah wrote that, it came with an assumed answer. Who has known the mind of the Lord? No one. No one has known the mind of the Lord. No one has seen or heard or understood. But something now has changed. Something that we today still too often overlook. And so Paul continues. He says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Like, I just pause and take that in for a moment. We have the mind of Christ. I think back to Moses standing face to face with God, and God would speak to him. And so Moses had the mind of the Lord because he knew, because the Lord would speak to him. And now Paul is saying, generations later, he's saying, now we have the mind of Christ. God has given us the mind of his very Son. The Spirit of Christ now dwells inside of us. Our spirit communes, or has the capacity to commune, with the Spirit of God. Why can we hear and listen to the voice of God today? Because the very Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, is living inside you, Christian. Did you ever stop and wonder how the church was able to spread throughout the known world within just a couple generations? That doesn't come from men and women listening to the spirit of the world. That comes from men and women listening to the Spirit of God. Now, if you're tracking so far, we've answered the question, why? Why can we hear God's voice? And the answer is because God is dwelling inside of us and speaking to us all the time in this still small voice that we can actually stop and pause and listen to. But if you're curious, and you should be, you're probably asking, how? How do we do this? Like, the Corinthians were struggling mightily to do this. And I know that we do too. We live in a very busy, a very noisy world that's hard to hear the voice of God. Because God needs something that we're rarely willing to give. God needs our attention. God needs our focus. So before we dive into communion, we're going to hear from someone who many of us know, who is particularly passionate about hearing the voice of God and is passionate about other people hearing the voice of God. So we're going to hear from him. Then we're going to spend a few moments just trying to do this ourselves, okay? So our special guest this week is our very own church chairperson, Glenn Camiso, who's like just had a busy day, and we're grateful for everything. Here you go, Glenn. So,
thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this for us today. And I thought maybe we could start by just asking, like, why are you passionate about this, and what have you been doing in your life to think about what it means to listen to the voice of God?
Yeah, I mean, why, for me at least, is easy. God has a purpose for us. He has a plan for us. He loves us. He cares about all elements about us and around us. So, yeah, I think I discovered early in my walk, I just want to understand what that is. What is he saying to me through all of that? I remember early in my walk just wondering, okay, how does God speak to me? Is it like a loud voice? Is it a feeling? Is it through other folks? And so it's been a little bit of a journey for me, this hearing God and listening to his voice. And a practice that Pastor Steve and I found really powerful and helpful is a practice called spiritual direction. And for those of you who don't know what it is, it's kind of an ancient practice. The church has been engaging in this practice for centuries. And it's typically you have a director and a directee, and the director is helping the directee hear God's voice, hear what God is doing in their life, walk with that person in that journey with God. And the director isn't a therapist. It's the person's not a psychologist or a coach. Some folks often talk about the director as being almost like a midwife, someone who is just helping bring about the Spirit, bring about God's voice, bring about God's purpose, and hear that together from that person. So I was actually introduced to spiritual direction at this church. I had actually never heard about it, heard of it before, and there was a retreat, and I was intrigued. Huh, I never heard of this thing. Spiritual direction, what is it? Sounds interesting. And I was put in touch with a director, her name is Gail, and started meeting with her, and she was just amazing. She had this calm, peaceful presence, not judgmental, and we would meet actually downstairs in the fireside room. And you just kind of felt, okay, God is here. And she would just ask these questions, which were just gets right to the point. Again, not in an analytical kind of thing, but just, you know, let's hear what God's doing. Let's figure this out. There'd be some scripture. There'd be some prayer. Lots of silence. Lots and lots of silence. And one of the things I loved about this space is, and this connects to our sermon from last week, she loved images, or she saw images, and during the silence, she would see images, and she would share, here's, I don't know what to do with this, but I'm going to share with you this image, and I would have these images as well. So it was sort of this new space, too, of God speaking through images in that silence. So, another piece of it is just kind of peeling the onion, and for me, in those spaces, things were revealed. Again, not in a therapist kind of a way, but in ways that God was speaking to me, and not like, here's what you're going to do for the rest of your life, although that was a question I had. But, Glenn, there's these wounds, or there's things like shame or anxiety, and we just kind of walk together to hear what God was saying in that space. So powerful place for me that I hadn't experienced before. And this director actually took a church job on the Cape. So I actually now have a different director who I was connected to through the denomination. His name is Rick. And he's been powerful as well in the sense that, so as many of you know, I'm actually looking for my next career chapter. And what a great place to even explore that. Just, what is God doing there? In fact, Tim Howard, who's here, when I first met him, said, there's this couple here in Boston who does vocational spiritual direction. And I started meeting with them, and they just focus on exercises and practices that just help me imagine and explore, what that next step might be. So that's been such a blessing. So I guess that's a long way to answer. I think this way, this experiencing God speaking through direction is, I think, important. And because of that, my wife, Cindy, and these directors had said, Glenn, you should actually consider going into spiritual direction. I'm like, no, I don't have time to do that. That's not what I do. And it was around COVID, and there's a center up in the North Shore that teaches spiritual direction. And because it was COVID, they did it remotely, and God allowed a path for me to do that. So I actually went through this 2-year program. In fact, 4 people from our church, which actually is pretty amazing, have gone through that program: Cindy, Kathleen Sharkey, Jody Jean, and myself. So it's kind of neat that our church is equipped in that way, and I feel God is working in that way also. So I'll pause there.
So that's helpful. Maybe you can get into what some of those practical practices are that you've learned. Knowing now that, like, one of those very practical ways that we can do this is by engaging in spiritual direction, which is available to us now at our church, because our tiny little church is like bursting with spiritual directors, which is incredible. So, but yeah, what are ways that we can do this? Like when we don't have a spiritual director, or we're at home by ourselves.
Yeah, no, I think, spiritual direction is a great space, and we're blessed that we can do this, and I encourage folks to be a part of it. In fact, our church has a companions program, which we're just launching, which is exactly just that, trying to connect folks to some of the gifts we have in that space. Things that we've talked about, scripture reading, prayer, fasting, sort of even just daily sort of assessment of our days, what brought us joy today, what brought us sadness, what was God doing. Those kind of things are very important. But the thing that I actually want to just maybe talk a little bit more about is silence. And I know we're gonna do some silent prayer soon. But that, for me, is a transformative space, because silence is so hard. As I think we all know, especially in this day and age, because of technology. I think that's a big part of it. In fact, our men's group and I know other groups, and we've actually mentioned it up front, there's a book by John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's a pretty cool book. It's about just how our 21st century just rushing and just always being on is very anti what Jesus actually did when he was on this earth. And it's really about modeling Jesus's practices and what Jesus did. And one of those things that we talked about was Jesus spent a lot of time in silence. He would go off and he would go out into nature, and I love nature. So he would go off into nature and just spend time with God and for long periods of time. And, you know, silence is so hard for us. I think technology is a big part of that. I mean, how hard is it to stay away from our phone or not check our phone? I just noticed myself this morning. I woke up, and the first thing I needed to do, I needed to look at my phone. I need to check my email. And it's become ingrained in us. We've almost become addicted to just needing that stimulation. So it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. We don't hear God. We don't hear what God is doing in us. We don't even notice things in ourselves. I mentioned things like shame or things like fear. We want to cover that up, I think, through technology. Yeah. We want to cover that up through just anything that could distract our minds. And the silence forces us to sit with that and sit with what God is doing in that. And creating even like 10 minutes is so hard. You think it's easy, but it's so hard to just sit and be silent. But in that space, God reveals things. And just another related example, when I was laid off, I decided to do a 3-day silent retreat. No talk, which sounds like a long time, but Pastor Cindy did a 8-day silent retreat. So she's like master level. But I did a 3-day retreat, and it was just a space of, so it was at a retreat center in Milton, and they had food and a place for me to sleep and other people there, but we didn't talk to each other. And you know, I spent time praying. I spent time reading, meditating, walking around, just walking around. There was a beautiful facility. And just helping frame, helping me think, you know, but God, one, that God was with me in this journey of finding a new job. God was with me in the struggles with anxiety and shame and things like that. So just even hearing God's voice in that way, but then even just through the journaling, like, okay, God is here. There's things that there's gifts he's given me and just revealing those kind of things to me. So, this space of silence is one I think is so hard for our 21st century generation to embrace, but I think that's sort of one way that we can, one space we can really hear God's voice.
Yeah, we always want to fill up the silence with something, some noise or something that we can watch. And one practice that's been very helpful for me is just journaling, because it forces me to pause and be in the midst of the silence. And then I can just sit there with my pen on the paper and say, God, what are you doing? And then just wait and wait, and then write down what just the things that are coming to my mind. And then testing that. And that's my next question is, which is, how do we know, like, because as I said before, we have these voices, you know, in our head. We have the voice of our own spirit that's there in our lives, that's kind of is always there. How do we know that what we're hearing is from God, or it's what we ate for lunch or whatever?
That's a great question. The voices in our head, and then, as you mentioned, the voices external in the world.
Yeah.
They're telling us, this is what you should do, this is how you should live your life, and how you discern what's God and what's not. And it's hard. It's hard to kind of discern what is of God in all these different voices, and that's where things like silence is helpful. But I think there's an awareness of all these type of things. You know, asking questions like, you know, is this, you know, fear? anxiety, overthinking? Am I over-spiritualizing things? You know, am I just focusing on my own selfish desires? Is what's going on due to just busyness or laziness or like we talked about, just what culture is telling me, you know, I need to make lots of money or I need to be successful. So just as an awareness, being aware that these things are bombarding our minds is half the battle, because then we could kind of discern, okay, what is it that's of God? And there's questions that I think are helpful. Things like, you know, what is, like if I'm praying for a question, what is the question? I think it helps to even just focus and to hone in on what that is. You know, am I just over-spiritualizing this thing? Or is it worth it? I mean, sometimes like little things, maybe it's not, we're overemphasizing the decision. Scripture is critical. Is what I'm hearing in alignment with Scripture? Are things obvious from that perspective? How is the world influencing how I'm thinking? So there's that question. Wise counsel. Have I pursued wise counsel? Have I pursued faithful brothers and sisters who would speak truth to me? I think that's an important question in terms of discerning God's voice. Have I prayed for this? Have others prayed for this? Are there other practices that I can, you know, like fasting and things like that can be helpful? So those are the questions, the types of things I think about in trying to discern what God is saying.
Yeah, it's hard. I think a lot of us, maybe if you've been around the church for a while, and I don't, this type of conversation doesn't come up a lot here in our church, but I was talking to a dear friend once, and he kind of gaslit me by saying, well, the Spirit of God told me, so I think you're wrong because the Spirit of God told me this. And we can't do that. we need to be able to test what we might be hearing from the Spirit, test it with Scripture, test it with, like, does that sound right to you? Like, I think that's such a humble, important question to pose when you're like, I think I heard this from God. Like, does this sound right?
And it becomes, it's a journey, but it becomes easier and easier in some ways. So I mentioned I'm looking at job opportunities, and there was one like, oh, this is to be, you know, the head executive director of this fancy organization and make, you know, lots of money. And, you know, I sort of just was able to pause. Okay, even asking those questions, does this actually use my gifts? Is the reason I'm interested in this because of financial or worldly viewpoints versus, you know, where God wants me to be? Is this the kind of organization that I really feel like, you know, I want to be a part of? So that made it, and then having other people pray and talking to folks. So, I mean, that's just sort of a specific example of how kind of going through this process has been helpful in really understanding what God is saying in that.
And it's interesting, too, as we look at the book of 1 Corinthians, this was problematic in that church where they were just hearing stuff and doing what they thought was right. They were like, well, I feel like this is right. I feel like this is what I'm hearing. And one of the gifts that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the gift of the discernment of spirits. And there are people who are here among us, and any of us can be gifted with these gifts from the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells within us. But that it's important for us to be able to discern the voices of these different spirits. We can lie to ourselves. Our own spirit can lie to us, right? Like, that should, like, shake us a little bit. Like, I can lie to myself. The spirit of the world can lie to us. The enemies of God can lie to us. And so we want to say, what am I hearing the voice of God? Testing that with Scripture. Like, allowing the Spirit of God to say, you know, look, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. This is true. And it's a process, and it should be a process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. As I said, we want to try to do this together. So we have some invitation cards that we're going to pass out now, and these are for Easter. So in case you're not aware, Easter's a big deal for the church, and the center point of our faith is the resurrection. And so we rally around this Sunday, and we make a big deal, and we celebrate on that Sunday. And we think it's an incredible opportunity to invite people in our lives who maybe don't have a church community to be a part of, or maybe who haven't heard the incredible news of a Savior who rose from the dead and what that means for all of us, including those who are outside this room who are maybe trying to figure out what truth is. So we have these cards, and we're going to pass them out, and in a moment, we are going to spend a little bit of time in silence. Okay, and we're going to, and the prayer that we're asking of God, who is in this room, because we are here gathered in His name in this room, and the Spirit of God is living inside every single one of us who calls ourselves a follower of Jesus and has put our trust and our allegiance in who Jesus is. We want to say, Spirit of God, who would you want me to invite? Who do you want me to bring to hear this incredible news? And our prayer, our hope, is that God might put a name on in your mind, and then that's like the easy part. By the way, the hard part is then, all right, do I follow in obedience to invite this person? But how do we, like, as we do this together, what might be some ways that we can make the most of this short time that we have trying to listen to God?
Yeah, what a great way to even just practice this. So I appreciate you creating that space here. I mean, I think, first of all, having something specific like that during our silent space, I think, is helpful. It helps us to focus, help us to just really focus on, you know, perhaps what God is saying in that. And, you know, some of you will find it hard. So when we have the silence, some folks will start feeling uncomfortable or start, their minds will start wandering. And I think in some ways that's okay. So maybe my encouragement is just to acknowledge all the thoughts and just give it to God. Acknowledge maybe even feelings. Acknowledge what your body is telling. So there's that part of it. Just, you know, God works in all of that. So during the silence, even being aware of that and not fight that, I think that's our tendency, is just to fight. Okay, I need to be quiet, but it's okay to have all these types of emotions and things like that. I think trusting God in that, and you know, God will honor that. God wants to honor that prayer. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for us to remember that he's not going to, like, hide. Okay, I'm going to make it hard for you to figure out this name of someone or these folks that you should invite to Easter. So even trusting that, I bet you, you know, we have it in our heart already. Maybe it's already obvious. Or for some of us, maybe there's fear in the way, or there's embarrassment, or there's anxiety, or maybe there's excitement in that. So again, being aware of that. And then the last thing I'll mention is there's things we can do during the silence that I sometimes find helpful. There's these things like breath prayers, where you know, just kind of short prayers where you pray, you know, a truth about God. God is good. Breathe in. God is good. And breathe out all the time. Or breathe, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not need anything, I have everything I need. Or even just a word like love. Things like that, I think sometimes I find helpful as we're sitting in prayer, just to keep our mind focused on Him and what he's saying to us.
Okay. All right. So we're going to do this a little bit easier than a few weeks ago when we got into groups and prayed together. I know sometimes for those introverts in the room like me, that can feel a bit challenging. But this one, we're just going to do in your own space and in the silence. And we're just going to ask God, is there a person that I know that in my life that you're placing on my heart that you want me to invite? Remembering that the number one reason, by the way, that people don't go to church is because no one's ever invited them, all right? Like, seems so basic, but that's true. So keep that in mind. It doesn't mean if God puts a name on your heart and you're like, okay, here I go, it doesn't mean they're going to say yes either, which is the scary thing for us too. But God cares very much for the people that you know. He knows them intimately. And so we're going to spend these probably about 2 minutes. That's going to feel like a lot, all right, in prayer. And then we're going to end with worship. So, I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then the silence will come. Heavenly Father, We know that there are people who aren't in this room who don't know who you are, or maybe who have run away from you, who you love so much. You know their names. And so we pray that in these few moments that we have together in silence, that we might hear from your voice. Clear out the noise of our minds and allow the ears of our heart to be opened and hear your voice.